Turn over with me to Philippians chapter 3. We're down to verse 7 at this point. And the power of Christ meant a confidence for the Apostle Paul. For the believer, the resurrection is a certain fact that gives us a confidence. And that confidence is in Christ, is for all Christians. Not just a few, but all are meant to have this abundant power. And when we realize that confidence that we have in the resurrection, when we realize the confidence that we can have through the Scripture, it can change our entire life. Look at Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 7. It says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered for the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the example that the Apostle Paul has left us. We thank you that you give us challenges. We just pray that each and every one of us are challenged this morning, including myself, that we will open up the Word, that we'll be convicted, and that we'll hear the Holy Spirit this morning. Again, we thank you for a wonderful morning. We thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. There was nothing that we could do in and of ourselves. It's all because of you. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. Let's imagine something this morning. Let's say a few years ago you went out and bought Amazon for a dollar. You had 50,000 shares of Amazon at a dollar. It's now at $3,300. You'd be a multimillionaire. Let's imagine something else. You've worked hard towards your goal, and you're about to finish your accomplishment. You're about to be awarded a PhD degree from Harvard University. Maybe you can't picture that. Maybe you're an Olympic gold medalist. You can picture yourself being this Olympic gold medalist, and all of a sudden your face is on all the cereal boxes across the country. What do these things have in common? Wealth, the prestige, the fame. What common denominator that ties these things together? And in this passage that we're going to look at this morning, when we compare it to knowing Christ, all these things are worthless. Just a little glimpse of Jesus Christ makes millions of dollars worthless. Just a little glimpse of the Savior makes all the prestige and the fame worthless. Philippians chapter 3 is all about Christian maturity. And it's probably one of the toughest chapters in Scripture because it challenges us. It challenges me. And Paul, in last week's sermon, the eight things that are all physical things that he could hang his hat on, it was very easy for the Apostle Paul to say, "Hey, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm a Jew. I have a zeal for the law." He could stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Look at what I have." And if you read verse 7, it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." And he says that time and time again over this next few passages. From the world's perspective, we try to gain things. What can we become? What is our career? Look at what I have. Look at the material things. You know, there's that saying that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. And you go to Amazon and you can buy shirts and you can buy hats and you can buy license plates. It's a very sad thing. But that's how we measure the world. The world measures it based on what you have, based on what you've become, based on what you can do, not according to the Word of God. But when we grow in spirit, we should allow us to let go of some of that. You know, again, there's responsibilities that we have as believers to take care of our family and take care of others. And, you know, but there's a balance there. Physical things are worthless, but what we have for Jesus Christ, we can win. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." We are dead unto sin. And again, we're not talking about sin this morning. Sin was taken care of 2,000 years ago at the cross. We're talking about things that, you know, are not sinful. Again, the love of money is wrong, but having money is not wrong. We got to take care of. We have responsibilities. We have things that we need to take care of each other. So it's not a sin question, but it's about the things that go farther than that. You go on to verse 8. He says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss." He already said it once, "I counted loss for Christ." And then he says, "I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." All those things that he's talking about in this chapter. Paul had prestige from studying under the greatest of scholars. He had all the fame that came from him being zealous. He had the important heritage. He even says, you know, compare, if I, you know, in verse 4, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." I have way more than anybody else. I have these 8 things. I qualify. I make it. I'm good enough. And he considered none of this to his profit when you compare it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the Apostle Paul knew Christ, everything was wasted self-righteousness. And I think we can all identify with that, whether it's before we're saved or after, or whether however that is. But each and every day we have choices to be made. We have 2 choices. There's probably more than that, but we have choices to be made according to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe it means we have to give up everything that we have, sell everything that you have, and go become a missionary. But each and every day, you have a choice to share the gospel. You have a choice to show the love of Christ. You have a choice to, you know, again, we always say, "Oh, I don't have time for that. Let me get to that till later." We miss opportunity after opportunity. Share the gospel. Give of our time. Is there something in your life that is keeping you from Jesus Christ? And it may not be just salvation, but maybe an ultimate relationship with Him. What's holding you back? You know, there's tragedy that the scripture portrays in the rich young ruler. He wanted to come to Christ and be a follower, but he wouldn't let go of his riches. He was not prepared to give everything to follow Jesus. And if he could only compare the difference, the glory that we'll receive from the Lord Jesus Christ, the win that we'll receive from the Lord Jesus Christ, if he only knew the abundance he would have in his life, if he could just let go and count all that as loss. You know, I believe that's why sometimes tragedy can accomplish so much in our lives. We don't want to go through tragedy. We don't want to go through trials. We don't want to go through temptations, whatever that is. But that is when we can see the Lord Jesus Christ work. That is when we can see the gospel come alive. About 2-3 weeks ago, we lost a 16-year-old friend of Hunter and Mason's. And we don't understand it. It's not fair. The kid's 16. Inside the flesh, it's like, this ain't right. But when you see all of the people that have come to the knowledge of the truth, when you have seen the people that come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, this earth is worthless. The possessions of this world are worthless. There's only one thing that matters, and it's understanding the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing the truth in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we saw it through that life. He had an amazing testimony for 16 years old. Look over with me to 1 Corinthians 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Again, the weak come to him. The strong don't need him. The noble, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Looking back at verse 8 in Philippians. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things for loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. What does the world look for when they look for in a church? You know, we may go to church to socialize. We may go to church because that's where our parents raised us. We may go to church because they're doing good things in the community. We may go to church to, you know, it's something we can check off our list. But I believe this gives us our answer right here. We need to go to church to understand the knowledge, to have the knowledge, to receive the excellency of the knowledge. We don't just go to check something off. We need to find a Bible teaching church. We need to find somewhere that we can go and learn and grow together. Church is to understand doctrine. Church is to understand the truth. Church is to open up the Word to learn and grow. How can we know Christ? First and most importantly, it is through salvation. We can't understand the Scriptures until we have salvation. And you can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you ever don't know how to share the gospel, just give this verse. 1-4. It says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the good news for today, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. This is what saves us, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If we want to have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, if we want to have the knowledge of the Word of God, we have to have true salvation. And it comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, he went to that cross. He paid for my sins. He paid for your sins. It's taken care of. It's done. Sin is no longer the question. It's whether you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I believe it goes on past that too. We've got to understand the Word of God. We have to understand the Word of God rightly divided. We have to find the truth and knowledge. Look at 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. In verse 3, he says, For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. This is what he wants. This is his desire. He wants everybody to be saved. And that is by far the most important thing in life today. But secondly, he wants you to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And that is understanding what the Apostle Paul has received, the mystery, the age of grace that was revealed only to him, to us, that through his death, burial, and resurrection, we could have eternal life. You know, if Peter and Paul taught the exact same thing, Paul wouldn't have had needed to say this. There was no need for him to say, hey, I've got truth over here. Him and Peter went back and forth in Galatians, and he said, you go your way, I go my way, we have a difference. But it was two different dispensations. But this is what we are called to do, is to come unto the knowledge of the truth. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's what we have hanging up on the wall back there. That is a challenge for us. That's a challenge for you and I. We have to do that. You know, I was thinking of the life of Paul. In verse 8 here, he says, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." If you look at the life of Paul, he didn't have it easy. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We think our life is hard today. COVID has us trapped inside our house and we have to watch TV and play on the internet all day long. I think the Apostle Paul had it a little bit harder. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, just a few things that he went through. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." Again, he says the same thing. I have more. There's nothing you can do to compare to me. And today, as an American, we're sitting here saying, "Hey, how much do you have in your retirement?" "Oh, you have 100? Well, I have 200,000. "Well, what do you have? What do you have?" Again, let's keep up with the Joneses. What do you have? How about we start saying again, I don't think we can say how many times have you been beaten this week. I don't think any of us are going through this. You know, the Apostle Paul says, "Hey, I was whipped 39 times. This is what I went through." How many times were you whipped? No, we can't really do that. But again, at the same point, how many times did you share the gospel this week? Once, twice, zero? You know, again, as a younger kid, I can remember we used to always keep attendance back there. Okay, we had 49 this week. All right, we have 51. You know, I'm not a big thing about attendance, but maybe we should start asking, how many times did you share the gospel this week? How about we challenge each other? How about we challenge each other instead of comparing the worlds that is nothing, that is loss, that has no gain to us? How about we start comparing the things that matter? He goes on in Philippians there. He says, "I count these things as dung." And I know the King James is very tough to understand and figure out. Hopefully everybody understands the word dung. Again, it's something you flush down the toilet. You know, we can understand the King James. We are to set our affections on things above. When we begin to see what the Apostle Paul visualized, we begin to throw all this away. We begin not to worry about it anymore. Van did a great job in Sunday school today. The more that we focus on the Word of God, the more the world flushes down the toilet. The more we focus on the things set in heaven, the more that stuff goes away. And he does all that I may win Christ. And some of the other versions, the Word of God, they take it and change it to gain. I don't think we're gaining Christ. Number one, if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you already have him. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You are seated in the heavenlies. It's a done deal. It's solved. But again, we can win Christ. It's like a prize. Look at 3:14, and we'll get there in a couple weeks. "But I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." When we get there, we win Christ. We are seated with him. We celebrate with him. We rejoice with him. It's not something we're gaining. It's not something we're earning. And the thing of it is, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have already won that. It's just waiting for you to get to the finish line. It's waiting for you to run that 26K marathon and get to the end. And some days it feels like it's a 200K marathon. Some days it feels like it's cake. But Jesus Christ is that win. And I think many times, again, myself included, I'm up here preaching to myself. I say it all the time. These are sermons to myself. We are all accountable to the Lord. We all know this. We can say it all the time. We can prove it. Hey, we're accountable to the Lord. But the minute we walk out there, we don't care anymore. "Well, I got work. I got job. I've got this. Oh, I could have shared the gospel there, but I'll do 2 tomorrow, Lord. You know, I've got time." We got plenty of time. "Oh, I could have given of my energy or money or Let me take care of that tomorrow, Lord. But we have to realize we don't have much time. Now is the time. Now is the time. Look at verse 9. He goes on and says, "Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law." Not seeking my own righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 10. Or first off, he says in verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." The Apostle Paul knew he was a sinner. He wasn't saying, "Hey, I'm sinless, I'm perfect, I'm this." But compared to the law, he was blameless. He did the animal sacrifices. He fulfilled everything that was called for him to do. But all of that is worthless. All of that, the righteousness of the law is not doable. Look at Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. It says here, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved." Again, the Apostle Paul always had a heart for the nation of Israel. He wanted them to understand the mystery, the age of grace, what Jesus Christ did for him on the cross of Calvary. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." The nation of Israel had this zeal. They had a desire. They wanted to learn the law. All they cared about was the law. And we still have that problem today. "But not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." It's no different today. Everybody say, "Oh, if I go to church this many times, if I give 10%, if I can mark these things off my list, I'm going to make it." It's not going to happen. And I think even grace believers struggle with this. You know, grace believers will say, "Yeah, it's all by faith." But James 2:26 says, "Faith without works is dead." But again, we have to understand who that's written to. That's not written to the age of grace. That's not written to the dispensation. It's not written to the body of Christ. James is written to the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. If you want to check it out, read James 1:1. If you fit the 12 tribes, we'll talk about it differently then. You can see at the end of Romans chapter 10 there, in verse 4, he says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Christ ended the law. But he goes on in verse 9, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Everything we do is because of Christ, the faith of Christ. Everything we do, we need to do for the glory of God. Any of your measly little things that you give to the church, or you come to church, or I get up here and preach, is worthless. Whatever we do for the glory of the Lord, we need to work towards His will, pursue His calling. You cannot preach Jesus Christ with the way you live. I'm sorry. One of my pet peeves is, live the life. Live a Christian life and every now and then use words. Now, if somebody follows my life, I'm in deep dung. We have to use words. The only way that we can talk about the death, burial, and resurrection and say, "Hey, I'm a failure, I'm a sinner, I mess up every day," is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and we can start with verse 20. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." We are justified freely We are redeemed through Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Again, if we were able to tally up our score like the Apostle Paul is talking about, first of all, when we compare it to the Lord Jesus Christ, we aren't even close. Yeah, we can sit here and compare it to man, and we do it all the time, even as grace believers. We're like, well, I've been in the Word 12 times this week. Again, it's all worthless. Jesus is the righteous one, only because of him, only because through his Son. Galatians 2:21 says, if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died in vain. Throughout each and every other dispensation, if there was another way, God would have done it. He would have said, well, let's go that route. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ cried tears of blood, said, hey, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And God the Father is like, man, I gave them 6 other dispensations and they failed in every single one. This is our only option. We have to send the ultimate sacrifice. We have to send the ultimate Son. We have to solve the sin problem. The faith of Christ. That is the salvation. That is the gospel message. Our faith in Christ, that righteousness that he gives us when we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If somebody ever asks you, how do you know you're saved? Don't ever start the sentence with I. I don't care what you do, don't start with I. How do we know we're saved? Because Christ did all the work. How do we know we're saved? Because Christ died for us. Christ took our sins upon the cross. Christ imputed righteousness unto us. Christ did all the work. The only thing I can do is have faith. I put my belief, again, faith is taking God at his word. I said, yes, Lord, I believe the word of God is true. I'm going to do the best to understand it for myself. I'm going to follow it to the best of my abilities. But I believe that you went to the cross of Calvary for my sins and rose again the third day. That is the only thing that can save us. Anytime you say, oh, I go to church, I was baptized, oh, I was circumcised, oh, I was whatever you want to bring up, you're taking away from the cross. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can save us today. He goes on in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Paul's apostleship is only because of the resurrection. If you study the 12 and the 12 disciples, they fought Jesus time and time again and said, you're not going to die. You're not going to raise again. None of that's going to happen. I can show you verses of that. The Apostle Paul's entire ministry is revolved around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul would not be an apostle unless Jesus rose from the dead. He was killing the Jews for following this guy named Jesus. He was sitting there killing everybody, saying, hey, this is not true. You're wasting your time. I'm following the law. You're doing everything wrong. He says that I may know him and his resurrection. And that's a prayer that, start writing that down every day. Is that not a challenge for each and every one of us? That we may know him and the power of his resurrection. I don't think we'll ever fully understand it until we meet him in the air. Until we meet him. And the Apostle Paul knew the only way to be resurrected was to die. And the Apostle Paul didn't care. He said, I'm going to preach this message, whether I live or whether I die. I'm preaching this message. And he goes on at the end of that verse there, he says, and be conformed unto death. Like I said, we have it easy in America. we have it easy here. But again, it's a challenge. For your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, would you die for it? Would you die for the belief of what the Lord Jesus Christ has called? And that's what he says here, being made conformable unto his death. He didn't care if he lived. He didn't care if he died. It'd be more fun if he went to meet the Lord in the air. So he said, I'm going to preach his message until I meet him in the air. And just real quick, 11 and 12. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul is not perfect. He says, I'm not perfect. You can look back at Romans chapter 7 and it says, I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I should do. The Apostle Paul had the same battles that we have each and every day. But this is our example. This is how we can follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we're called to do. You know, I was thinking of the life of Paul, and I said, do you think he had any fear? I think Paul had fear. You know, it doesn't come out as portrayed. He was very bold. He was very, but I think the boldness came from the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had so much confidence in Christ, he allowed the faith to overcome the fear. And that's where we're at today. There's so many things in our life that we think, oh, we got to have that. We need this. The challenge for you today is to share the gospel. Let's start keeping track of how many times somebody shares the gospel. We'll keep a tally on Facebook and say, oh, there's one for Van. There's one for Chad. There's one for Ben. Who can share the gospel the most? Because all of this other stuff that we compare ourselves to is worthless. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. I just thank you for the challenge that you've given to myself included. We can tell everybody. We're in a free country. We can walk up to somebody on the street today and say, hey, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? But for some reason, we keep our mouth closed. For some reason, we keep our lips sealed. Whether we're scared of it, whether we allow the fear to enter us, whatever the reason is, I challenge each and every one of us, myself included, to share the gospel. Find one person today. Give us the opportunity to see that person that needs you. You can change the life of that person for an eternity. We thank you for the many blessings. We thank you for the challenge from the Apostle Paul. We pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.